The current spoiler warning level is butterscotch.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of butterscotch. We start out by talking about a machine and a couple of loadouts from Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny, which is obviously not spoilery for any GGP listeners. We then talk about a couple of Gunpla Builders designs, but these are from photo novels and such. They are not from animation, thus we don't consider them spoilers. And then we do talk a little bit about a couple of things from Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Freedom, the currently airing Gundam Seed movie. So that is extremely spoilery if you care about that sort of thing. I know there are a lot of people who won't, and we don't get into any plot details because we don't really know them. But we talk about two designs. One of them is definitely like spoilery for sort of a surprise in the movie, and the other is just, oh, this is what they've done with an existing design. Either way, know about that. You'll get a red spoiler warning at that time, and please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista in G. It's the Gundam Breaker 4 announcement celebration party.
Woo! I'm excited. Hey, it's me, I'm Dylan.
So, I guess probably you seemed like you did, like, some, like, screen-by-screen.
Yes, I did the thing that I did with the first three Gundam Breakers, where I downloaded the trailer off of YouTube and then did some screen-by-screen looking through it, yes. And also, I found the Gundam Breaker main website before it was actually fully uploaded, because what I did was I went to the main Gundam Breaker website, right, which is gb.ggame.jp, and then I was like, well, sometimes when they had like the subsections for the older games, they did it by year, so I typed in 2024 and then it brought me to the main page before. That's why I posted it before Wario 64 on main, the website, only by 2 minutes that I found the website slightly early, but you know, that was fun. Look, I'm very excited about this, and some people might go, well, Dylan, new Gundam Breaker was really bad, why would you be excited? One, they know new Gundam Breaker was bad. They fucking know, so they're not going to do that again, I am pretty sure. And two, a lot of the gameplay changes looks like they backpedaled a lot of changes from new Gundam Breaker. Which is a positive. And three, I like having hope for things, because even if I have hope and I get disappointed, that's what life is anyway, so it's fine. It's no different than normal existence. Whereas if I'm just negative all the time, then I still don't even feel good when things turn out good, because I was a fucking sad sack for a few months. So, you know, I may as well be positive. Yeah,
fair enough.
I'm excited for it. Has a lot of neat little new features. Main thing being that now you can customize your individual arms if you decide that you want asymmetrical arms. I probably won't, because I usually prefer the arms to be symmetrical, but there are some cases where I think you can make it look cool. Usually if I made asymmetry, I did it with builder's parts, which... the other changes are you can now wield a one-handed weapon on either hand. I don't know exactly how two-handed weapons work, because we know all the two-handed weapons from the prior games are still in. Like, you know, there's a, we see a Zagok with, like, the anti-ship sword, and, you know, there's, like, the V2 holding the high mega can. I don't think they got rid of any of its parts, of the parts from the prior games, you know? So I'm just curious to see how they'll work in this. I do know that original Gundam Breaker 3, with the DLC, had roughly 216 mobile suits in it, and this game advertises over 250. It does have all the new stuff from new Gundam Breaker, so like the Nightingale's in, the Zabanya, the Harut, etc. So lots of, you know, and I'm happy that those are still in, because it's designs I like. And the other new unit that we know is fully new is the Aerial is, of course, in, which, I mean, it's the new fucking Gundam, of course you're gonna have it in there. But yeah, I'm very excited, very excited. Everyone else is like either fawning over Dragon's Dogma 2 news or the Elden Ring news, and meanwhile I'm just like, oh, Gundam Breaker 4, hell yeah. It's so funny that it got announced slightly before everything else on the Switch Partners channel, because even though there is a Switch version, it's also on PS4, PS5, and Steam, and I'm like, who the fuck is gonna buy the Switch version? Come on.
I mean, I suspect a lot of people, because people like having a handheld version of things.
If it's available, I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. Gundam Breaker 3 and 2 were also both on Vita as well as PS3. And the Vita versions ran like absolute garbage. And also,
sure.
It's one of those things where it feels like maybe the console versions were a little compromised in order to also still have it function with the Vita. So I'm viewing the Switch as the Vita in this case, unfortunately. Even though the Switch does not mean life. In the way that
it
does.
It doesn't matter to me. I'll get it on PC, and then if I want to go mobile, I'll use my Steam Deck.
I will get it on PC, and if I want to go mobile, I will not. I just won't. I won't have the option. It's fine.
I probably won't want to go mobile. It's like, you know, listen, folks.
I have a 3DS games next to me if I want to play a mobile game.
And it's like, what do? I go to work. I go grocery shopping or whatever. I don't have a lot of situations where I'm going to be at. Like, I don't have, like, a commute on a train or anything where I'm going to make use of this, you know? I could play some on my lunch break, but you know what I do on my lunch break is I get food and I eat it, usually.
I look to the left and I'm like, well, there's my bed, and usually the idea would be, well, if I'm laying down, maybe I want to play something portably, but then I go, well, if I'm laying down and I'm playing something, especially on something as large as the Switch, then I may as well just be up and playing it, because I'm not going to lay down in bed with the fucking Switch. What if I fall asleep while I'm playing it? What if I, like, drop it or roll over it or something
while you're playing it?
I mean, well, that's the thing.
Your fingers are just
going to
stop moving and it'll fall out of your hands.
Well, no, you know what I mean. Like, if I fall asleep or if I'm, like, nodding off, you know?
I mean, but if you're nodding off, you are still self-aware enough to set it down.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, if I'm at that point, I don't want to play games anyway, so if I'm at that point, I may as well just be up and sitting at my desk.
Well, this is the thing, right, is I have a, like, I think when I was a kid, I would, like, play some stuff in bed, and these days I have a policy of if I'm lying down, it's because I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, that's my thing, right? If I'm in bed, I have a blanket over me, and I am going, it is sleep time.
Right, this is the key to getting insomnia, is being like, what if I lie down but train my brain not to sleep when I do that?
And it's
like, yeah, that's a bad idea.
And it's like, oh, well, Dylan, what if you want to be more comfy? I can swap my computer desk with the really nice reclining chair that we stole from my partner's grandpa, or grandparents. Not actually stole, you know, it's just they moved houses and they weren't going to take it with them. And I was just like, that's a really nice chair. I guess if they're going to throw it away, it's mine now. Never mind, you know. And yeah. I'll sit in that and I will play the game. I will still play it on a PC or something, but I will sit in the comfier chair. I mean, it just depends on the person, though, you know, it's like, I have some friends who do, like, desk, like, office work, and they're like, I never want to sit in front of a PC while I'm at home. And I get it, it's just, couldn't be me. I will sit in front of a PC all day when I'm working, and I will sit in front of a PC all day when I'm at home at rest. You know, that's just how it goes.
But I'm actually blanky mode right now.
Oh, blanky mode. I am,
Being in a chair doesn't mean you can't have a blanket.
That's true. My mom back in like 2009, I think it was, or 2008, randomly got me a Snuggie. You remember the dumb commercials for those? It's just the blanket with the arms. It actually rules is the thing. It's just, you go blanky mode, but you have your arms free. I love it.
I have a different style of one, but I do have a wearable blanket myself that I got as a Christmas present and does rule. It's like, makes me look like Purple Santa.
Yeah, mine is like a military camo, so it's very not my aesthetic at all. But, you know, my mom was just, she had gotten me it as a random, like, stocking stuffer back in, like, 2008 or something, because, you know, my mom just liked when we would still hang up stockings, and she liked getting gifts to just throw in them, and that was one of the things she got me, was just, there was a folded up Snuggie in there in military camo, and I'm like, okay. And then I thought it was dumb, and then I wore it once, and I'm like, oh no, this is actually really good. Shoot. This is comfy. That was 2008. Oh my god, that was so long ago now.
Well, let's go ahead and get into, let's roll a listener request, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, now that I have my dice again, I can properly do a D4 to decide top or bottom. I know I should be doing a D2, but I'm not buying a D2, and I'm not flipping a coin because that's loud and sounds bad on audio.
A D2. Seen those D2s okay. with the very second goofy half. Designs. They're kind of fun.
Yeah, it's just like all smooth, like just, you
trying
know,
to make like a near Mobius strip slight thing. Because it's like mm-hmm. smooth.
It's like,
the
it's like, it kind of looks like a D8 almost conceptually. It's just almost all curves, so there are only two places where it can stop. Theoretically.
Yeah.
I bet badly made ones that's not true. I bet you can stop on edges on badly made ones.
Well, yeah.
Okay. You know, I was hoping for an easy one, and this is a relatively easy one. There's not a whole ton to talk about here. Checking. Oh, there's some things I didn't know about. Okay, this one is pretty easy.
Okay, model number.
ORB-01.
Oh, no. Well, ORB is at -01. This is going to be the Akatsuki Gundam.
This is a request from Chris on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
This is from so long ago that I don't know if it's... I don't think it's probably...
Is it Chris from
yeah,
MHQ?
It's not.
No, okay.
No, it's not Chris from MHQ. I just managed to look it up. This is a different Chris. Thank you, Chris.
You know what's the worst part is we make fun of this because it looks awful in animation, but speaking on Gundam Breaker, I've used this thing's parts a lot in Gundam Breaker because it turns out when you don't have it colored in... the most awful, like, digipaint gold ever. Some of the parts do look pretty cool. So we'll talk about it. But, yeah, the Akatsuki. This is Orb's, you know, Orb, the neutral country's nuclear Gundam that they made.
Yeah.
Well,
the first one they made, I suppose, right?
Yeah. Well, there's not, like, an Orbo 2, though.
No, but they just switch model numbers at a certain point. I mean, like, Orb makes other shit. Orb never stops making shit.
Yeah, because they made like the Astrays, right?
They made the Astrays. I'm sure we're going to learn that they made the Rising Freedom and shit.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, because they made the Strike Freedom and the Infinite Justice, right? But they didn't make the Freedom or the Justice because those were stolen from Zaft. That's where I
right.
get it all mixed up. Is the problem?
Right.
Well, anyway, the Akatsuki though, the thing we're talking about today. All right, so...
Wait.
Oh, yep.
They didn't make the Infinite Justice, I don't think. Isn't the thing with the Infinite Justice is that Chairman Durandal gives
it
to...
No, because he was going to give him the Legend, remember?
No, he was going to give him the Savior. He gives him the Savior.
He gives him the Savior, but then the Savior gets destroyed. But then he goes and shows the Legend and the Destiny Gundam to Athrun and Shin, and he's like, these are going to be yours, and then... That's when Athrun's like, why
right.
did you order, you know, Kira's death? And then Durandal brings up the very good point of, well, if they didn't want to fight with us, why didn't they contact us ever? As far as I'm aware, we've tried contacting them several times and they just ignored us. So that...
I mean, though also, you know, listen. That isn't actually a reason to murder someone, is they won't talk to you.
Yes, but it when they are going onto the battlefield and shooting everyone indiscriminately, which Durandal also brings up, I think that is actually grounds to attack them.
That's true.
Also,
listen.
If he did not show up on the battlefield, Heine wouldn't have turned into a JPEG.
I mean, people, you know, people die when they are killed. It's fine.
Heine lost all of his weapons and ways of defending himself and was floating in the air. And then, because Kira shot all of his limbs off, and then, the Gaia Gundam fucking rams into the back of it and kills him. And I'm just saying, I think Heine, would have been able to defend himself had he not been, stripped down by, Kira.
Chairman Durandal is meta-aware, and he knew that they couldn't afford to have that guy on the show, and he was gonna die one way or another, so he doesn't hold it against Kira.
Okay, yes, the manufacturer, in fact, was Terminal. Which, you know, is the Three Ships Alliance's ally.
Mm-hmm.
And Terminal becomes a compass, I guess, in new stuff, but whatever. Anyway, Akatsuki. All right.
Akatsuki.
Akatsuki, yeah. I don't know why I'm saying it like a fucking New Yorker. Akatsuki. The Akatsuki. So, starting with the head, we've got a head with kind of a unique forehead. It doesn't really have a forehead jewel, right? Like, it's got a flat plate on the forehead, and then the V-fin has, like, an area that wraps around that plate, So it's got, and the V-fin itself has these two little notches in it in the middle. Otherwise, it's actually a pretty standard V-fin design. Then you've got kind of an extended tall Mohawk camera. You've got the head Vulcans, and the head Vulcans, kind of interestingly, on the sides of the head, have, like, these swept-back ears that kind of remind me of the Wing Gundams, but then at the end of these, there's two more longer horns swept back as well. Then you've got a wraparound vent going around the back of the head. Some pretty long cheek armor going on with this design. For the face, you've got a Gundam face, but with no, like, no mask vents or anything, like, no detail like that in it. Got a little bit of a longer chin, comes to a point. I know that in the, it looks like it's a little curved downward in the, Sete art, though usually, like, when I see it in games and whatnot, it tends to be just a straight kind of point. Kind of reminds me of, like, the Zeta and stuff, with, like, it's still longer than the Zeta chin, but you know what I mean. It's more angular than it is in this art, rather than having that kind of swept curve, Then just two blue eyes with the red lining underneath. Very, you know, standard Gundam face going on. Back of the head, you do have a single camera on the back of the Mohawk. Around the vent that wraps around the head, you do have these two little notches, which is just kind of an interesting thing. A little extra detail. When you move on to the torso now, you got a popped black collar going around the neck area. That also has a black sort of triangular piece pointing forward on the chest, top of the chest, which has a red hatch on top of it. I think that might be the cockpit hatch. I can't remember, though. Then either pectoral side is gold. It does have some popped, like the shoulder areas pop up as well, like, you know, as tall as the collar does, so... underneath on either side of the torso, you also have these little, like, verniers cut into the side of the armor. You have vents at the front, and the vents are interesting because, like, this thing is clearly all gold, but they're, like, a different shade of gold. Like, they're a darker gold, which is just an interesting choice. It's also got this Strike Gundam thing of having the, if you look at the, chest there, it's got these two black, like, little, like, frame bits that are going down.
Yeah, like, reinforcement plates, kind of.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Strikes.
For sure.
Then the middle of the torso, you've got more gold armor, kind of goes below that little pointed area on the chest, then goes in, starts pulling in, and then just kind of turns into a regular Gundam chest. Still has a very standard Gundam chest shape there. Does have the two torso segments. Like a lot of Okawara C designs, the middle torso segment has these two parts that extend downward on them instead of it just being, like, you know, stacked little, like, stacked shapes. It has a bit of extra armor on the middle piece there going down on the front. But otherwise, you know, if you've seen an Okawara Gundam in Seed, it's a lot of these design elements are familiar. Speaking of familiar, the shoulders themselves are pretty unique, actually. So it looks like it's got a lot of these, this gray shoulder, like, reinforcement going on, like, this gray armor underneath that, again, kind of reminds me of the Strike or the Dual Gundam. But then you've got this gold armor that actually goes out pretty far. This is actually one of the elements I kind of like about it. It reminds me of the Providence's shoulders, especially because it has the two verniers or two thrusters, like, inside of the shoulder on the underside. I should note they are in red instead of gold. For the arms, though, very simple arms, just your usual square upper arm. You've got a pretty standard lower arm for Gundam Seed. It's funny that it has all these flat angles, because you would not see any of that detail even in the animation, because the way they color this thing gold, especially in the HD versions, makes it impossible to tell what's going on with it, which is kind of annoying. Does have some elbow guards that pop up and protect the joint. Also has a hard point on the outer and inner part of the arm. You can see the little square on the outer and inner sides of the forearm. Then you have the you have a kind of an interesting shape for the little cuff around the wrist, just because it has, like, a little cut on the inside and outside, like a little square cut out of the top of it. Just kind of interesting little shape to add to it. Then the hands are just hands, standard. For the skirts, the front skirt piece, you've got some gold armor that ends in, like, two spikes, and in the middle of it, on the bottom, and it this kind of, like, goes from the front to the back of the waist on the Akatsuki, you've got this, like, black, you know, more of that black frame going from front to back there. You can't see it behind the rear skirt. For the side skirts, you've got pretty nice side skirts. They have a point at the bottom. They've got these little sort of like semicircle, like, you know, clasper pieces for holding the saber. You can see it on the one side on the art if you're looking at the sete. And then the it's got a thruster on the front and back of the side skirt as well. And then if you look at the rear skirt, you've got actually a separated rear skirt rather than just a plate. It's got a rear crotch piece that is just, you know, basically just a big block. And then you've got the rear skirts have a big thruster pointing downward on either side. For the legs, pretty standard Okawara legs for like Gundam Seed. The skirts are kind of short, so you can actually see a lot more of the leg. It makes the legs feel a little long. But, you know, there's a little bit of detail wherein the leg armor, if you look at the sides, it kind of dips inward a little bit. Like, it has, like, a bit of a pinch inward around the top back of the thigh. But otherwise, not really any other detail on it. Got your gray block for a double leg joint there. For the leg, this is another part that kind of resembles like the strike and the duel and all that. You've got for the knee, it's a gold piece of armor with two little thrusters pointing down and forward that are on this black frame piece, and the way the black frame piece goes around the calves is the part that reminds me a lot of the strike and the dual Gundam. On the outside of the calves, you also have a thruster. This is one of the only other places where that second color of gold comes up, because the thruster box starts off the regular gold, then it has the darker gold at the bottom, and then it has a red thruster coming out of it, little square thruster. Also, on the back of the legs, you've got these two little flaps that I believe have a small thruster underneath them. They're just like
these. It looks like they would, fins. Yeah.
And then for the feet, you have some pretty standard ankle armor. It's got some little wings that sweep backwards and end at a point and have like a little scoop on the front of them.
Little Hermes shoes.
Mm-hmm. And then the feet themselves, gold on the top, red for the bottom of the foot, very standard Gundam foot, gray block in the middle, and then a red heel piece. Only thing of note would be the foot has these two little openings in the front of it. Finally, the back of the torso, it doesn't really have a backpack by default, but it does have like a small little like auxiliary thruster built into the back of it. You can see there's like some frame housing it, and then it's just got a top and bottom little like you know, scoop parts above and below it for directing.
We should make better use of the tools on Jamboard to draw on things.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm not. That was both of us. It's like, you know, we should really just like draw on things when it's like, hey, here's what we're talking about, and it seems like it's a good idea.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that would be the Akatsuki by default. Of course, when you see it, it does not just use those. But,
We'll talk about that in a sec.
We'll talk about what's on the base design first. So, as mentioned, it's got the...
So, we're looking at the sete art here. I've included a screenshot from the HD version. I feel like it's worth talking about how it actually looks in the show.
Yeah.
Right? Which is not, you know... Not like that. Like, especially because you have, like... So I'm not enough of an animation expert. What are they just doing, like a CG, like, texture
applied? I mean, it looks like a texture, right? Like, it mm-hmm. does not look... This.
It doesn't look like a model.
Well, especially in, again, like a shot like this. And this is what I don't like. Like, a lot of people think the Akatsuki is, like, ugly as sin, and I get it. But I will admit, I think that the basic design is actually pretty all right. It's just the way that they animated it looks awful. Like, look at that.
Well, and like, it's look at the cloudiness of
the texture there.
And it's like, it's I I don't think that looks good. I think there are some shots where it looks all right. Like, there's also the shot of it, like, just the close-up of it, of its face when it first activates, where in this shot, I think that looks pretty cool, actually.
Well, it works for a single shot, I think, like, doing the gold like that, right? But, like, when it turns out when they need to animate it in motion, though, that's where you start into the problems with it.
Mm-hmm. But I think especially, I mean, we're using screenshots from the HD version. I think a lot of people's dislike of it comes from how it looked in the SD original, which this is one place where I will say the HD made improvements, because the SD version makes me, like, nauseous to look at.
Yeah, you know what? That is fair. Dizzying. It's also doing the texture thing, but it's doing it much worse.
It's just, like, it's just blurry. It's just, like, this, like, unintentional dazzle camo.
yeah. It makes me sad, because, like I said, I don't think it's, like, overall actually that bad of a design. I think it has a lot of interesting points going on with it. I really like the head design, especially. I just don't think it looks good in gold. Here's the thing, though. Could you imagine if they animated the Hyakushiki with gold like that? You know, like the SD image you linked? I think people would also be more lukewarm on, like, the Hyakushiki if it looked like that at all.
Absolutely.
Times.
Yeah. Though I think that, like,
I don't think this is as good as the Hyakushiki, but I think it's pretty good still.
I think you could still do this well. I think, like, probably the tech at the time wasn't ready, and also I don't know that the team that works on Seed Things are, you know, I'm sure it's a different team for Freedom, but I think, once again, Freedom looks bad. So, I don't think those people are up to the task, but, like, I bet you could do this shit now. You could do what they're trying to do, like, the CG texture, and make it look pretty good.
Yeah.
Because, like, this shot of it just standing in the hangar, again, it is an unmoving shot, but, like, I think that looks really cool.
Yeah. Like, it's just one of those interesting designs, because, like, I had a conversation earlier, actually, too, in a Discord about some Seed Freedom-related stuff, where they were talking about how bad the Setae looked in Seed Freedom, but then I had to point out that that's just... Okawara makes Setae that is not for impressing the viewer, it is for impressing... Or not even for impressing, it is for showing the animators, you know, for animating. Not to say, like, you can't criticize it, but... It was something that, like I said, I was going back and forth on it. I'm, like, showing, like, you know, the Wing Gundam Setae looks a little funny in the face, you know? And, like, the, you know, you look at, like, the Gundam X or the O Gundam from Gundam 00. Like, any design that Okawara really has worked on in, like, the past, I would even say 30 years, especially a 3/4 view one, it kind of looks a little funny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not because he's trying to make it look cool for animation. But, like, look at that Wing Gundam. You know, it looks a little goofy. Especially the face. The face is so sunken in there with, like, the way the cheeks are. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's a little goofy. It's just something to keep in mind, though. Because, again, it's, like, not like anyone goes, oh, the Wing Gundam is actually a really bad design, though. Everyone fucking loves that thing. And I think it's important to not let dislike of a show necessarily dictate how one feels about one's art. But, you know, that's because I'm a giant nerd who loves way too many robots, so that's...
Also, I'm here to say that the Wing Zero is cool, but the Wing is not that cool.
I think the Wing's fine. Anyway. So, yep, you are putting it in the jam board, which is good. The main thing that this has going on is it has several packs. I do think I want to talk about its equipment before that, though. Like, just its basic equipment that both forms have.
For sure.
So, as mentioned, it has Head Vulcans, close-in weapon systems. They don't have a proper name, surprisingly, given that it's Seed. Though the beam rifle does have a proper name. We've got the Type 72 D5 Hyakurai beam rifle. So, that's the beam rifle. It's a Seed beam rifle. You know, it's got the handle that has the little guard on the front of it. It's got what appears to be, like under the barrel, like, a weird little, like, radome kind of sensor, but it's not colored differently. But I do like the flat little sensor. And it's got the, you know, main camera on top. It's got a carry handle. And then, like, the main weird thing is if you look at the bottom of it, it actually can fit the saber in as a bayonet. And, you know, kind of use it as, like, a... you know, defending with the beam rifle and stuff.
One thing that more like Gundam stuff should take from Stardust memory from 0083 is the Jutei. Beam Jete is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Which, you know, I think emitting the saber is actually kind of neat. Doesn't really do anything with it in the show, but, you know, it can do it. Has the common thing that every fucking Seed Beam Saber does after a certain point, which is actually it's a double saber, and you can split it, which I think is a little goofy. They do that with, like, ever since the Freedom could do it in first Seed, then it's like, okay, everything needs to do that now, especially in Seed Destiny.
The thing that I don't get, right, like, it has two sabers that link together to form a double saber. Why don't you just give it two double sabers and it can just choose to only turn on one blade sometimes?
Yeah, and then that way you can have it do the cool thing that Tamino loves doing in his show, which is something spinning its beam sabers, but now it's got two double beam sabers it can spin with its hands.
Sure. Also, you could do, like, you could have it, like, between the fingers so it's holding two in each hand and do super lighter tricks.
God, that'd be very goofy. Here's the thing, the beginning Gundam does that, though. We talked, I can't remember, we had a beginning Gundam episode, I think.
I have no recollection.
From Gunpla Builders, it actually does some goofy stuff with having multiple sabers that I think is fun. Then it also has the...
you meant, like, the Wolverine claws. I thought you meant it did super lighter
tricks. No.
I really don't remember that.
But I just meant, yeah, you know, holding the beam sabers between the fingers, you know?
Yeah.
Still goofy. Then there's the Type 71 Experimental Defensive Shield, which I think is actually a good shield design, mostly because in Seed, it's not the fucking anti-beam shield that Seed uses.
Fucking ABS that they just designed one shield and strapped it to
everything,
every machine.
Yeah. Plus, I like that it's got, like, a blade on the bottom of it, which I think is neat. Never uses it as such, but it's colored silver, and it lines the bottom of it, so... But yeah, it's just got a fairly nice shield. It does mention here that the shield itself is using the same anti-beam reflective coating and can even do large beam blast, including the positron blaster cannon, which is one of the most annoying things I think about this suit, is it's functionally immortal. But, you know, I guess that's the other thing to talk about, right? It's got the Yata no Kagami anti-beam defensive reflection system. So the golden armor and all the armor on its armaments and its backpacks is a mirror surface armor that has nanoscale beam diffracting lattice layers and ultra fine critical plasma suppression layers. It not only protects against incoming beams by deflecting the fire, but can use the Akatsuki's sensors to track enemies and redirect those beams back at different enemies, combining offense and defense. And it can even block things like the fucking, like, positron blaster cannon. But it does mention it does provide no protection against melee attacks.
Which is like, oh, so it's like the IBO thing. No, beam sabers also don't work, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, it's because beam sabers in Seed they don't have the UC explanation for how they work, right? Where, like, UC...
Oh, they're not beams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't... What I mean is they just don't go into it as much, right? How they work in Seed. Beam sabers tend to have a lot of goofy rules in UC that they tend to follow, I think, fairly consistently. Whereas in Seed, it's one of those things where a beam saber is just a beam that is a sword, you know?
But, like, logically speaking, if your thing deflects all beams, it should deflect that beam.
Yeah, well. Like I said, though, I think that, my main issue with this, too, is, so, the way it works is it is given to Kigali, and the thing that happens with Kigali with it is that she does nothing, but she's immortal because, you know, it can reflect beams, which I think is kind of, you know, already kind of something that annoys me, because that's all Kigali does with it. And then, even though it's the Treasure of Orb given to her by her... you know, now dead father, like, you know, this is something that he left, like, this is his legacy. She then just gives it to fucking, fucking Mu.
But also...
And then also the way that Mu is shown using it is Mu doing the thing where, oh no, a giant beam cannon blast is coming towards the fucking, Archangel or whatever, and then he goes to do the sacrifice with it, but because it's this suit, the beam just hits, and then it just deflects and doesn't matter, and he's just like, yeah, I'm Mu. And it's like, oh, you've removed all the emotional weight from that original scene, which is like, you know, like, I'm not a big fan of Seed either, but like, I think there's like a bit of a weight to, you know, him blocking the shot with the Strike Gundam. And then, of course, they reverse all that anyway, because he doesn't even die from it.
I also feel like, though, this machine is inherently, like, kind of unacceptably stupid because they use a fantasy trope, right? Mm-hmm. What would that mean? This is, like, the last will and testament of Kigali's dad, of Uzumi Atha, right?
Yeah.
Bro, you died last show, and this show's about a tech arms race. Why is this the most advanced machine ever built?
I mean, yeah, that's also a thing.
It's just like, you fucking, like, had this one on ice for a couple of years?
Also, sorry, because I have to post this. This was an image. I'm sorry, I cannot credit whoever made this originally. I saw it on Twitter the other day and saved it on my phone.
oh boy, okay.
And the other reason I am so grumpy about Moo getting to do anything in Seed Destiny is because all I can think of in my head is... No one ever addresses what happened with Neo Roanoke and, like, why is everyone just okay with him all of a sudden? After he's been, like, the big asshole. I can never not think about it! Because it never is addressed!
I mean, he sucks.
I just, anyway, sorry. I can't
It's about enculturation, Dylan. If people tell you you're bad, you'll act bad. That's why we can't be mean to Nazis.
Anyway, the two other things. It's not just like the Akatsuki is immortal on its own. It has two different packs.
If anyone who can't tell, that wasn't just a normal joke. Please be very mean to Nazis.
Yes,
that
was obviously a joke, and I would hope our listeners would not... I have a higher opinion of our listeners that I don't think anyone would not think that's a joke, but I guess some people need to be told.
I just like to be careful.
That's fair. All right, two backpacks. The Uwashi and the Shiranui. The Uwashi is the Earth pack. The Shiranui is the space one. The Uwashi Sky pack, as you can see on the left, if you're watching the video with us. Otherwise, I mean, I assume you're on the wiki, you'll know what I'm saying when I say the Uwashi pack, is a backpack that is pretty much your standard Gundam Seed Flight pack. It's got, if you're looking at it when it's separate, you've got like a little cockpit piece in the middle that folds down when it connects. You've got two vertical wings that are just in, you know, on either side of the little main bit in the middle. Then you have two larger wings extending out horizontally that have, like, a thruster on the back of them. The interesting thing about this is there are two guns that hang below that are on, like, little subarms that can pop under the Akatsuki's arms, kind of F-91 style. And these guns are, I believe, they are just... They're called high-energy beam cannons. They're another one. So, speaking on terms being inconsistent, they fire the rainbow beams, right? Which my brain goes, aren't those not just high energy beam cannons? Aren't those positron beams? But whatever, it doesn't matter in this. They are like it fires the toothpaste beams that, if you've seen Seed, you know about. It's got two of those that are located underneath the Uwashi Sky Pack. They do have a bit of extension to them, so also kind of reminded me of the Vespers in that way. Here, I'll post the little image real quick of that. You can see that they kind of extend forward just a little bit, you know, just a little bit of movement on there. Otherwise, I mean, it's a flight pack, you know, you know what it's going to look like on the back of this. The more interesting pack, is, in my opinion, the Shiranui.
Oh, sorry. Before we bought, I just wanted to note, it is like they are giving it, why did it copy that one? Okay. They are giving it basically like a Strike Rouge-y kind of pack, right? It's very, very like,
yeah,
IWSP or it's like sort of IWSP or like Ale, like, because this is the one that Kigali gets to pilot.
Yeah.
And then we get it to Moo, and Moo has to have his, like,
because Moo has more never spatial awareness, new type he shit. Gets to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets to have, yeah. So the Shiranui pack is, it has a large, like, funnel that is located in the middle of it in the back that kind of hangs down. I only call that out first because it is in the middle for the Dragoon there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes a nice shape, though, because it does look like a binder. You know, I do like the way... I think the funnels go on this in a way that is actually kind of interesting. And then the way the other funnels are on it... So, if you look on either side of the middle then, right, you have these two pylons that have thrusters at the bottom. And on the back of those, you can actually see that there are Dragoons that are tucked in on those as well. You know, on the surface. Oh, no. There's those two on top, two and three, but look at four and five also below.
Yeah, I'm numbering them so that we can talk about them easily.
Okay, what about six and seven then? Because it has seven.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, those are the two I'm trying to make reference to because I didn't know if you would see them. That's why I was curious where you were going to label things. So, yeah. The Shiranui, though, yeah, has seven, as they are called, guided mobile beam turrets, which...
If they're mobile, they're not turrets! That's what the word turret means!
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, they're Dragoons, right? They are essentially Dragoons.
They're Dragoons.
Yeah. It says they are comparable to the first generation Dragoon system, and my brain's just like, they're Dragoons. Why are they not called Dragoons? But whatever. They have these little beam cannons that do, like, these, you know, long straight ahead beam, like, green beams. Thing that they can also do is they can do the new Gundam thing of firing the beams in such a way that they form a beam shield. Because it has two beam... Uh-huh. You can see that each of them has two beam emitters on the side along with the one in the middle. And so it can form, like, a... basically forms an octahedron, which, to be fair, octahedron's a cool shape, and I do like a big octahedron shield. So... okay with that. Though it making a beam barrier, I mean, I get it, right? Because you can see what it's being used against there. It's being used against missiles, which makes sense, right? Because missiles are not beams, so they would in fact hurt this if they hit it. But it is still funny to me that you now have given it immortality in all ways with this.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, listen, I do actually think this design is like, when you get down to it, this design is kind of cool, right?
Oh yeah, no, but I do like it.
But, like, you don't get to steal the new Gundam shit. You're not on that level.
Yeah. In some works, the beams also that are on the backpack, I believe in some of the Versus games and a couple other games, they can actually... You can see there's a little bit of rotation on them, especially those side ones. They can be fired while they are still attached to the backpack, which would, in fact, make them sense. Turrets. In that way. So that's kind of neat.
I don't think that... Okay.
What?
Never mind. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm going to worry about it. What was it?
I'm just worrying about the definition of the word turret.
I mean, I'm not saying that, oh, this actually... I do agree with you. I'm just saying they can be fired while on the backpack, kind of like the Legends, you know.
But, like, if you're holding a handgun, the fact that it's in your hand doesn't make it a turret.
Yes, I have become a turret, actually, I think you'll find.
Now I am become turret.
I guess, okay, if you are sitting in a chair with a handgun, are you now, and the chair is...
Then you are a turret. The gun is
now,
not
Now, if it's
turret,
a rolly chair, though, are you a turret? Because you can move the rolly chair.
Well, okay, if you're a rolly turret, okay, if you're in a rolly chair, but, like, the building, like, the doors have, like, a lip so you can't roll over it, then it is like you're on a conveyor belt. You're confined to the building, and you can have a turret that moves around
this.
The surface.
I hate
now I go turret on you. I went turret on your friend.
I hate this.
Also, very funny to me, just a bad name for a thing.
Uh-huh.
Here is some art from Mobile Suit Gundam Destiny The Edge Desire. Hey, don't call it that.
Also a thing, just to show it, thank you, Dalong, for having these pictures. The backpack also is a bit more movable, so you can see it can actually flip up like that. In which case, you would actually be able to have the guns aim at least... you would have four of them aiming forward, and you can have three aiming either back or have the two side ones aiming whatever which way, because you can see they're on, like, you know, a big hinge. So
this is a kit where Dalong's lining style looks good.
I mean, he didn't really... I guess he did line it a little bit. It's hard to tell because it's so reflective.
Right, but it, like... I have a gold kit. I have the Fenix. If you don't do some hard lining, it looks like kind of like a mush.
I do think, like, if you were to make, and I know people would get mad if they wasted a slot on this, but if you were to make an Akatsuki in the Hyakushiki gold, it would probably look better, because I don't like the reflective gold. It's just a little too much. I do find an interesting thing that the kit does that is not on the Sete is it makes the chin be that darker orange, kind of like the chest parts. I think that actually looks kind of nice. Does it do mm-hmm. that in animation as well, actually? I'm going to look. No, it doesn't look like it does. In the animation, it just they just make it the same yellow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually does look better when you have it be that like darker orange.
If you want to upset Dylan, folks, you can point out... So they have this categorized as fan art, but it's by Komatsu Eiji, who is a Gundam fan, a Gundam artist.
Who is Komatsu Eiji? What has he done?
Double O... He's done...
He is an animator. Okay, so he's an animator.
Yeah, Double O, Thunderbolt...
Who is C, mostly Destiny, known for Mecha narrative. Musume illustrations. Oh no, he worked on like Trigger Heart Excelica and such.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is one of the... This is, like, no! extremely on the creepy end.
Away!
Okay, no, listen. No, you have to use the highlighter. You have to point out the parts.
No, I don't! And also, YouTube channel is going to get reported for crimes.
I'm not putting this on YouTube, so it's fine.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're just, it's directly on Patreon, right?
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Free for everyone to watch. Watch it. It's a good way to... to experience the show, but
okay,
it's
sorry.
On Patreon, so they can't do takedowns to us.
You know, you said the manga, you showed a picture of the edge. The way that they try to do the gold coloring in the actual, like, pages of the manga is interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
It looks kind of alright, actually. It just kind of has, like, an interesting shading to it. This is just an interesting design to me, though, because I do know that, like, you know, obviously I follow along with GGP. I am always caught up and always listening. And I know when this design came up, everyone, like, was like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever. And I'm like, I kind of like it, actually. This is, like, one of those ones where I'm actually like, okay, I kind of dig it. Speaking of... So that's it for the main design. There is... Okay.
No, it's not.
No, because you're going to talk about the thing that we don't actually have access to.
No, I'm not.
Oh, no, you're not?
I'm going to talk about something we have to talk about every time we talk about a Seed Gundam.
What? Oh, does it have a different Gundam?
The acronym.
Acronym?
No, but we just need to point out which one it is. This is a General Unilateral Neuralink Dispersive Autonomic Maneuver. You know what? Autonomic Maneuver probably is different. Because it's probably a reference to its fucking funnels.
Oh.
Anyway,
all right. There, okay.
Also, they spelled synthesis
there
wrong.
There is technically one part of it that we can talk about. Also, that is Seed Freedom spoilers, I guess.
Yeah. Let's hold off.
You want to hold off?
Let's just hold off.
You want to hold off?
I mean, we'll do it at the end of the episode.
Okay.
But it's like, I mean, some people won't want to hear Seed Freedom spoilers.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think this matters at all. But like, I don't think Seed Freedom matters. I'm a biased source.
Well, and also, to be fair, we don't actually have art of the thing I want to talk about, right? Even though it's apparently in the movie, so...
I mean, we do.
We don't have
I don't
art,
know if,
we
I don't...
have a figure. Well, we have art of one component, and we have a figure for the actual
We have a
thing.
Figure, yeah. Yeah,
and not
we
even
be able
on
to talk
the,
about
yeah, We'll talk
this.
About it. Anyway. Yeah. Well, the problem is, if you're done with... that's the Seed part. There is two other things to talk about. One of them doesn't matter. It's a Gundam Breaker mobile thing where it uses one of these parts as a kit bash. We don't talk about those particular ones. Just because those are, like, not unique, right?
Wait, which one are you talking about?
The Azalea.
Yeah, I mean, I'll flash it on screen.
I mean, yeah,
real
but
quick,
I'm just saying, we never talk about... We haven't talked about prior ones of these because they you know, we wouldn't even remember what ones we talked about because they...
Well, we have, actually. We've talked about some of them. We've been a little inconsistent. There have been
times
that
we
have.
Which ones have
we
talked about?
But
that aren't...
I think when we did the, was it the F-91 we
the
talked
F-91
about
The F-91 Valkyrie is a completely new design.
That's not the one I'm talking about. There was some, like the protagonist suit.
The Gundam Arius, that is also a completely new design. And the Artemis is a completely new design. They literally have new Okawara art to go with them.
Hmm. Okay. I think we've mentioned in passing some of them.
I mean, we've probably mentioned in passing, and usually every time I want to say, they don't really matter because they are a game unit that, you know.
That isn't anything
I mean, it's nothing new. Anyway, it's literally just parts that, you know. It's got Rosen Zulu legs. It's got a Shenlong torso. I can't recognize what arms those are at a glance. Why are they with the thrusters on top? I need to look. Hold on. I know them.
They're...
Hey. Oh, it's got a camphor backpack. I can see that. And it's got the Akatsuki head.
Mm-hmm.
What is the arms? That's going to drive me insane because I know those arms. Just tell me what they are.
Oh, they're impulse. They're impulse.
Oh, they're impulse arms. Oh, okay. Yeah, with the thrusters on top. Okay. I can see that.
They're usually colored differently in a way that throws you off.
Yeah, but it's just, that was the thing driving me nuts. It's like everything else was like very identifiable, but you know, then mm-hmm. that was just like,
what? As far as one of their kit bashes, I think it looks all right.
Yeah.
But
all right.
I do think the comfort backpack is a weird choice for the way this
for
thing
one
looks,
that I think is a cooler kit based one that is in a, that is in Gunpla Builders Beginning J, back when they still did Gunpla Builders spinoffs. We've got the Akatsuki Gundam Corleone, piloted by Figlia Contini. What? That is a name. Oh, sorry. Pronounced Filia. Filia Contini. Yes, she is in fact from Italy. And she named the Akatsuki Gundam Corleone after Vito Corleone, a character from her favorite movie, The Godfather. Yes, good. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I love that. That makes me happy. Oh, that's so funny. Anyway, for this design, there's a couple of little changes. This is also just a recolor. Never mind. Damn it. Damn you, Beginning J, you usually are better about this.
She starts off really stern.
Uh-huh.
And then she warms up.
Oh, no.
And then she gets wife-coded.
Oh, no.
Like, expressly, extremely expressly wife-coded.
That's so weird! No! You can't do that to her! Look at how cool she is early on!
She's extremely cool early on. And then
she goes from being,
marry a little boy.
Cool, weird girl to, like, who's, like, angry and dressing like a military person for some reason, to she has catty mannequins, glasses, and hair now, to now she's wearing a fucking, almost like a wedding dress, basically.
I guess it doesn't expressly say, but she is doing this pose and she has romantic feelings for the junior high protagonist.
Oh,
not okay.
Oh, no. How old? Oh, no.
We don't have an age. We just have junior high.
Okay. Well,
maybe he was.
I meant more her. How old is she?
Oh, how old is she?
I love that they have status and it's an expand collapse as if characters would be dying in Gunpla Builders and the Gunpla Builders thing. I know that's probably a thing for every single one of the, you know, like, tabs for characters on the Gunpla.
She's also supposed to be a middle schooler? What are you talking about?
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense. No way. Was she held back 9 times? What are you talking about?
Anime. Well, manga. Well, photo novel. In this case. All right.
Is it like light novel? I mean, I guess it's kind of a mix.
It's one of those things where I think it has... It is a mostly, novelistic thing that uses pictures of, like, the models, and it has, like... I guess, like, a light novel would be a way to describe it. I always thought they described them as photo novels, though, with, like, a lot of the Gunpla ones, because they would do, like, you know, the little battle pictures in between and stuff with the models.
I've never actually properly looked at one. The only reason I ask is because there is, like, hand-drawn art of the characters.
Well, like, here, like, let me copy, like, a random page that has some...
Though I guess there is, from, like, Sentinel as well.
Yeah, so well, I mean, really... they would have, like, so, like, these...
Okay, yeah, that's a photo novel, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
These would usually run in, like, I think this one, I don't know where this one... They would run in, like, Hobby Japan or Gundam Ace and stuff, and then they would have, like, a section that is, like, the story, and they would have all these little photos, and then they would usually have little sections that have, like, the model on it, and then usually showing, like, what's different with the model. Like, I'm just grabbing a random one that, sadly, we didn't talk about, even because it doesn't have its own wiki article, but it is a unit we talked about before, and also I need to share this with everyone. I'm sorry to throw this in the Akatsuki episode, but, like, look at this. Like, they would have little sections afterwards that would show, like, things from the, you know, story, and then, like, in more poses, and what kits were used to make them, or, like, what parts are custom made, etc. And then they would usually have character bios in their own little thing. So
our friend Figlia Contini had another thing that I don't think we talked about this at the time, but she had another basically just a recolor, which is the Stargazer Corleone.
very much a very big... Goddamn, no offense, Philia, you need to do a little more with your kits. Like, I will say I love the Stargazer, and it's one of my favorite, like, CE Gundams. I think the Stargazer is really cool. And I do think adding a bit of purple to it is really nice, like, with the purple on the arms, the feet, and the torso. But it's really not very much, like, very different. I guess she gave it that rifle.
She gave it the rifle, and she gave it beam javelins.
But, like...
I feel like it is just the Stargazer.
Well, especially because, like, look at what it's with there. You've got a beginning Gundam variant with a giant fist there in the middle. And then...
And you've got a really horrifying actor.
Yeah, a bear guy turned into a cat. And I love it. It's also horrifying, but...
It's called the Nya guy, of course.
Yes, beautiful.
It would have to be.
All right. So, finally, for Sea Freedom, spoilers in here. Again, I don't know if this even appears in animation or what, because Sea Freedom's still in theaters, but I know about this because P-Bandai had it.
At this point, we are going to start discussing spoilers from Gundam Seed Freedom, the currently airing Seed movie. So please be warned.
And there is a thing that was originally made for the Destiny Gundam, which we also talked about in an episode, so I guess this is kind of making up for that, or like a catch-up for that, called the Zeus Striker. If you want to get the 2D...
No, it's the Zeus Silhouette.
Zeus Silhouette, sorry, not Striker. If you can get the picture of the Zeus Silhouette, because that's like the only 2D art we have...
I've only got the 3D art. I don't have the 2D
art. Zeus Silhouette. I thought there was a... Let me see. Oh, yeah, no, that's also 3D. Never mind. For some reason, I was thinking we had the 2D art. It's weird, because it doesn't pop up in either of the Seed Freedom books I have that are for, like, the movie. But, you know, they showed off the metal build of it, and we know that it's supposed to be equipment that can be used by the Destiny Gundam and the Akatsuki. Or Metal Robot Spirits, I should say. I think this equipment looks fucking cool. I love it. I would be curious to see it on the Akatsuki, especially like if it had different colors when doing so. But so what it seems to be is the Striker is a giant gun in the middle that has these two external wings, and what the external wings actually are like legs basically. And I think there's like a little bit that connects to the back, but not very much backpack, because you know it's going over a thing that already has a backpack. So you can see, though, that it has a... Oh, and it also has some parts to the torso, it looks like. Like, you've got these little generators in the vents of the torso there. Let me pull up the back art real quick, or the back picture, just to try to see.
It says it's just chest armor, is what it says on the wiki.
Okay, but... I think the chest armor... Oh, you know what? If you look at it, I think that's folded around the head, maybe, from, like the top.
I see.
Like it's worn like a bib. Because you can see there's extra armor on the top of the torso too and such. So you can see from the back though, like some of the parts hanging down. There's like a giant rear skirt going on here. The gun can, I assume, be connected to that giant piece that's on the back there on the left. And then I'm curious what those two.
No.
Are those extra? Yeah, those are extra barrels on the right.
They're replacement barrels. Yes, the barrels burn out from this thing.
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
And also, I love this... I think the gun's design is pretty fucking cool, because it's just, like, this absolutely gigantic gun. It is kind of doing a beam magnum from Unicorn thing, because if you look, it just has, like, whole-ass E-packs as the ammo.
Mm-hmm. And then replacement barrels as well, yeah.
But it's pretty fucking cool.
It feels like it's doing, like... I mean, it's a metal build, so it makes sense. I mean, I assume it was in...
I should say.
Yeah, excuse me. I assume it was the way it was in the movie. I don't know how the design process works on this, but it reminds me a lot of some of the like 00 stuff they've done recently. Right?
Yeah, where it's like the very ridiculous metal build 00 stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these look like parts that are made by like Ebikawa or something, right? Like they're very angular, you know, lots of little detail to them. I will admit, I think they're pretty cool. In this case, it turns out you give some space legs to a Destiny Gundam and also a really big gun that has a giant rack of magazines plugged into it, as well as needs replacement barrels. I think it's fucking sick, actually.
It's also got a little shield on it.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, it's just like the Destiny shield can connect into the side of it, it looks like.
I guess so.
I think this thing's pretty fucking cool, actually. I would be curious to see the damn thing, but no way of seeing fucking Seed Freedom. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, at some point they'll sell a Blu-ray and then we're good.
Yeah, I know. It's just, well, the problem is, it's the same problem that, like, you know, like, I know Jackson had talked about. It's annoying when it's out in Japan now and there are people who have seen it and we've seen, like, enough little bits of it to have bits and pieces, but, like, we don't have all the
Dylan,
info.
Hold up.
What?
Give me a second.
What?
Jesus Christ.
What? What have you found? Hello?
Ah! Hi.
Hi, what happened?
There's a fucking bird in my room. It's gone now.
What the?
Some roommate must have left a window open or something. I'll go check on that after this.
Yeah,
because we're winding down.
I was gonna say we're at but the end.
I just heard a bonk noise several times and looked over and there was a bird that was whacking itself into my sliding glass door. And I'm like, the fuck?
I was like, at first I was like, oh wait, like, did you find something interesting to share? And then you disappeared. And I was like, oh no. Something happened.
I mean, I guess I kind of did find something interesting to share. Why the fuck is there
a
sparrow
in
my room?
Your room? Yeah. All right. Well, with that, you know, I guess that would be the Akatsuki. Hope you enjoy, Chris. Sorry it took us so long to get to it. It's just, you know, it's luck of the draw.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you think it's a different color? They have a different color one for the Akatsuki?
No clue. I mean, it's hard to know, right? I would hope so, honestly. But because I think
I feel like I want it to be like black.
Well, because here's the issue, right? The Akatsuki is gold because of the reflective beams. It would be really funny if it added a bunch of external armor that was destructible. You know what, though? That could be kind of cool, actually.
It could be kind
of
cool.
Because now I'm thinking of it like the Alex or something, right? Where it's like, oh, you've got like a bunch of disposable armor on the outside that can be blown up. And then underneath you have like a core that is also like some kind of very strong armor.
I mean, and this is way too cool for Seed, so that wouldn't happen. Well, but yeah. Like, you can imagine like a sort of like a fucking like Virtue Nodle like shot where like it gets hit by a blast and there's a big explosion. And, like, the smoke clears and you just see, like, the parts floating away from the untouched Akatsuki underneath.
Well, you know what the problem is? Because we know enough about Seed Freedom, they already did this, but they did it with the fucking Zagok that has the Justice hiding in it.
Okay. Wait, the what?
Oh, you don't know about that?
No.
Well, wait. Okay, look, I know you have a bird problem, but here, real quick.
I mean, I don't need more. I took care of it. Thank God.
Oh, you ate it?
I opened the door.
Sorry. I just had a word. I'm sorry. Look, I just thought it would be funny. Anyway. Oh, you don't know about the Seed Zagok, though. Okay, well, we're in Seed Freedom spoiler territory. We have been for a little bit. One of the Seed Freedom things is there is a Zagok that is just a Zagok.
Oh, it just has the horn. I see.
Yes, and it is revealed that there is actually the Infinite Justice Type 2 is inside of it.
Spec 2, please.
It's not Spec 2, it's Type 2.
Is it?
Yes, because you can see in the art for the film, in this art book, they call it the Type 2, as opposed, and it has a different kanji, as opposed to, say, the Impulse Gundam Spec 2. Which is spelled Spec 2 in English rather than Type 2 with whatever kanji those are. So actually, haha, you can't get a gotcha on me here. Ha. Ha. Ha.
Alright, fair enough.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if they show up in the movie, but I will admit the Impulse Spec 2's sword and blast forms also changing color. Fucking cool. Actually.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Anyway, yeah, there's a Zagok though, and it's got a Infinite Justice hiding in its tummy.
Okay.
And that's it. All right.
Can I...
What?
We're not really going to get into it, but, like, I think it's going to be bad, but like the things I have tried not to see too much. The things I have seen of Seed of Freedom are like, this is insane, and you wouldn't have been able to put this in a show. I'll say that.
I mean, there's some stuff that are ridiculous. There's also a lot of stuff that, like, I just have more questions for because I've never seen anyone bring it up. Like, in the art book, for instance, there's this thing. Why is the Cavalier from Draganar in Seed Freedom? Because, okay, so to explain what I mean there, in Metal Armor Draganar, you know, also by Okawara, obviously, doing the art, at the start, the Draganar one has an external armor it can wear, called the Cavalier, and it looks like this, right? Oh, hold on, it's loading. If you're on the video, if you're not on video, I'm sorry I can't share, but, And so it's clearly doing a reference, right? Because, like, okay, they're both called Cavalier. They both have a disc-shaped head with, like, a bunch of, like, a weird sensor package at the front. And some external cannons that are, you know, angled forward. The hanging wings. So I feel like this has to be a reference. They're both called Cavalier. I just don't know what it is or what it's for or what uses the damn thing. I tried looking it up and I couldn't find anything about it. The only thing I have is I have the two books that came with, like, if you went to go see it, there's a pamphlet that they gave away, a standard and a deluxe edition, and I have both versions. And there's some interesting stuff in there, but it only raises more questions because it's all stuff I never saw anyone talk about, and I'm just like, what? Excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's really funny that I have art of the haunted Victorian doll girl after having caught a really large fish, I assume. Or having won the election, maybe? I don't know. But anyway. Know nothing about it, though, because you can't see it. There's not even, like, good cameras as far as I'm aware, so...
I mean, there's, you know, it's coming out on March 14th. It's coming out
Australia.
And I'm sure Australia's going to do right by us. They'll take care of it.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's a couple other things that I want to show you, but I'll show you after we're done because, you know, I've shared a couple of dumb little mechanical things here, basically. There's a couple other things that are a little ridiculous that I know about. But anyway, all right. With that, Six, where can people find you and your work online?
You can find me on Twitter. Sure. You can find me on Twitter and co-host at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. My DMs are open, as Dylan says, for any questions, comments, listener requests, or anything like that. You can also find my work at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Dylan, what about you?
You can find me at LowPolyRobot on Twitter.com as well as on co-host. You can find all my work on You're Already Here. this is what I do as like a main thing to share. So yeah, but you know, if you want to see me post about video games, you can also find me on Twitter and co-host. So yeah, and sometimes Mecha and whatever interests I have. I don't really do anything in particular. All right, well,
it is fucking incredible.
Uh-huh.
How many of the quotes on the Gundam Wiki page for Kagali are just people saying things to Kagali, not even her talking.
I mean, that's accurate to the show, though, right?
True.
People saying things to Kagali and then the show acting like she's like a baby all the time.
Let's
remember
let's,
how they
let's
had to recast her for Seed Freedom.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but I mean, it makes sense given all the shit, right? If I were that voice actress, I would not come back either.
Yeah.
Fuck you. call it foolish sentiment, but if it's at all possible, I want to stop this battle. Orb must not participate in this fight. No, not just Orb. The reality is no nation should, nobody. We can't let this world go on fighting war after war. So please, Kira. And even if it's just a little at a time, we have to make our way off this misguided path. Orb has to do the same.
Why do people try to have revisionism about Seed being good when you literally have a line where they're trying to say that no nation should ever commit war, even though war is something that is fought usually for, like, various other
wars
reasons.
Are fought for reasons. There are reasons. Seed!
But everyone acts like, I hate the revisionism I've seen. I'm sorry, if you're listening to this and you're a Seed fan, can you please explain to me, I guess, like, maybe I'm just too materialist. Maybe I'm just an insane, annoying Marxist. I don't know. But I hear a quote like that and I go, how the fuck do you claim that this show is actually truly the best Gundam show? I want to know with a straight face how they could explain that to me when it has no functional fucking understanding of material reality of, like, why a war would be fought or why people fight instead of it being just nebulous. Wars are fought because people are mean and they just can't sit down
and talk to each other. It's because of hatred, Dylan.
It's stupid! I fucking... Ugh! Mad about Seed again. Anyway. Alright. Speaking of which,
they should have at least had it go full fucking Rulina Peacecraft, right?
I think Rulina's stupid too is the problem.
No, I agree, but at least there's something funny to her being like, if you want to conquer my country, so be it. And it's like, you fucking
moron. That's the thing that gets me is like, it's not like Wing fans are out here generally trying to argue with me that actually it's the deepest Gundam. It's only the fucking Seed fans that do this shit and then try to fucking dogpile people about not liking their fucking favorite anime that everyone else in the world fucking likes.
I truly do not have a problem with anyone who's like, I like
If you like Gundam Seed, that's fine. Just don't dogpile people for not liking the fucking thing. That's right. The problem.
It's, I would even go so far as to say, if you enjoy eating, like, popcorn that is drowning in the, like, movie theater butter, it's cool, but you have to admit that sucks. You can like it, but you have to admit that sucks.
I guess, like, when you're in, like, a certain... I guess I am always bitter because there was a whole incident where some person quote retweeted me and just got a bunch of Seed fans to yell at me and act like, oh, you're not actually a Gundam fan or you haven't seen the things you're talking about, etc. I spent fucking 6 months watching, like, episode by episode, doing analysis with GGP, and it actually made me dislike the show more, because I used to be one of the people who were like, oh, Gundam Seed's okay. And then I watched it again in a very slow and methodical way, and it made me hate the show.
I'm not an idiot. When GGP was like, we're doing Gundam Seed, I was like, I remember it well enough. I'm not watching shit.
It makes me feel bad because, like, I used to be known as a person who'd be like, ah, Gundam Seed's okay. You know, it's not, like, the worst thing ever, but it's not, I don't think it's very good, but, you know, it's fine. And then, like, the GGP season happened, and you can, like, there's a transformation within me as I am watching the show and then trying to also, like, sit there and, like, figure out things like character motives. And it turns out when you watch a 50-episode show in, like, 2 days, it's really easy to just be like, okay, yeah, that was a thing I did, and it's done now. But when you watch it over a long period of time and you're sitting there trying to actually, like, think about it, like, it makes you start to think or question things about it, and then it makes you go, oh, this actually sucks. Which, you know, fair enough, that can happen with other shows too. I mean, hell, it's kind of happened with Zeta. I find myself also not being the biggest Zeta fan. Still think it's much better than Seed, but you know.
Zeta's an extremely mixed bag.
There are ideas I really like in Zeta, but there is also a lot of things where I'm like, damn, I wish this was handled better. You know? Anyway, yeah. I am sorry for the big ramble. I just can't help. Seed Freedom has revived everyone talking about Seed in a way that just my brain has been losing my mind over certain types of ways that people talk about it. And then you reading that Kigali quote really fucking solidified for me.
Why don't we do, okay, why don't we do a, why don't we do a different quote, right?
No.
Trust me. I'll do Kigali's line, you do Athrun's line,
okay.
All right?
Okay, send me the lines.
Ugh, you idiot! How could you ever come up with something so stupid? How could you end up doing something so terrible?
He took Nicole's life right before my eyes. Nicole was 15. He loved the piano. He only fought to protect the plants, and Kira just cut him down. He fell on his sword.
Yeah, this is the thing is, by this point, I believe they've already made the edit. So it's like, in the canon that you are running with, Athrun, Nicole
impaled
himself.
Well, no, this was in
himself.
The original SD show. Him falling on the sword wasn't until HD.
HD didn't come right. HD didn't come out before
many
Destiny.
Years later. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Yes. Okay. No. Fair enough. All right.
But anyway. All right. Peace.
Peace.
And war. She's